Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world. To the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Here on Rainbow Soul. Feels good to be here with you. As always, rainy, rainy day here in New York. We broadcast from the United States, and we want to thank everybody for stopping by, for checking in, for spreading all of that wonderful, wonderful internet love all around the world. Tonight, we're going to get right to it. We have a guest with us who is, I should say, no stranger to BlakeRadio.com. We play her music all the time on our sister channel, Music Massage, and she's also been here on Rainbow Soul a couple of times as well. Angela Johnson, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me again.
Oh, absolutely. It's a pleasure to have you. This is a wonderful time for you. You are 10 years into your solo career. Unbelievable, isn't it?
That is correct, and yes, it is unbelievable. I am so happy to be, you know, I'm wearing this as a badge, a proud badge, that, you know, there's not many people that can say that they've been sustaining in this business, doing what they love the most, and that's making music and touring with your own music. I'm very proud of that.
Absolutely. And for our guests who, for our listeners who are not familiar with Angela Johnson, she is an incredible musician, singer. She was actually, when we started Blake Radio almost 10 years ago, at the time we were streaming videos. This is before YouTube and the whole thing, and folks were telling me people are not going to look at videos for more than 5 or 10 minutes. But, you know, we defied that. We knew, we had a vision that that was going to be the wave of the future. And Angela at the time was with a group called Cooley's Hot Box, and her and Will Downing, they were our first two videos that we featured in our video lounge on BlakeRadio.com. So
wow.
it's a long, long time.
At
the time you were with Cooley's Hot Box. When did you, it was 10 years solo, right? What year did you actually go solo after you left Cooley's Hot Box? Or did you ever really leave Cooley's Hot Box? Or were you doing both at the same time?
Well, you know, there was a point where I was doing my solo work as well, with, you know, touring and creating records with Cooley's Hot Box. But it was the last record with Cooley's Hot Box, Got to Let It Go, that I came out with They Don't Know It simultaneously. And, you know, it was a little tricky trying to, you know, put in the effort, the same effort that I would with the band, of, you know, being with Cooley's Hot Box, but also wanted to apply the same energy to my solo career, which was launching off, and I was very nervous about it at the time. But it was time for me to take that step and to have that leap of faith that I can actually, you know, head my own career as a musician and a solo artist.
Absolutely. And one of the reasons why we have Angela with us today, 10 years into her solo career, she has a new album dropping tomorrow. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about that?
Yes, my new CD, my latest baby or creation, I should say, is titled Revised, Edited, and Flipped. And I want to let everybody know that this is a great album. It is all remixes of some of my favorite tunes as well as others in the course of my solo artistry, if you can call it that. But yes, I wanted to collect a few songs from each record that I've been putting out since 2001 and, you know, have them, you know, have new life breathed into them. I have some favorite producers and DJs on this record that have remixed my songs, and I'm really proud of what they've done. They really made it their own as if they were putting out, you know, releasing these songs on their particular projects. But no, it's on mine, and I'm very happy about that. And no, it's really exciting. It's really exciting. I think everybody will love the album because it's got all sorts of flavors on it.
It sounds, and I had a chance to listen to it, and it is actually an incredible album. We're going to play some of the tracks today, but first we're going to try to get into Angela's head a little bit. 10 years.
I have
late.
Half a brain now since it's late. I drank a little bit of coffee, so I might be okay.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You always do an incredible job. 10 years later, what I kind of want to let the audience know and let them get a certain perspective is, tell the audience where you were 10 years ago, mentally, physically, and spiritually, and probably expectation-wise in terms of what the music industry was all about. And I know I just asked you four questions in one, but but I want the audience to get an idea of where you were 10 years ago, and then we're going to work our way back up into the present.
Right. Well, musically, I think that I was in a place where, you know, I was with the band prior to doing my solo work for many, many years, and I felt that it was time to let people hear my voice. I didn't know how I was going to say it or sing it or produce it, but I knew that I felt the time, and it was the need to have myself displayed and, you know, just be bare and naked and whatnot and let people see me for what I am and let's see, you know, what would happen. But, yes, I was in a place of discovery. I wanted to know what I was made of as a musician, a producer, and it was a very scary moment for me. I mean, I was encouraged by a lot of people around me. Thank goodness I had some really great advice around me. But I wanted to just show, you know, what I had within me. I didn't want to be known as the songbird of Cooley's Hot Box or the lead vocalist. I wanted to know, you know, who I was as an artist and as a musician and what I was made of. But within the industry, I felt, you know, I wasn't trying to imitate anyone that was out there. And, of course, they have this title of neo-soul. I wasn't really paying attention to that or trying to categorize my style of music. I really was just trying to pay homage to the music that I've grown up on, and that was R&B and soul, gospel, some, you know, classic rock. I mean, I was exposed to quite a bit of that music, and I just found a way to incorporate everything that I've been influenced by and had myself, you know, interpret that music and make it to be what I would pronounce Angela Johnson music. So those are the things that were running through my head and when I felt I had, you know, found a way or found a niche within this business during that time. And I think that I have established myself well enough for people to actually identify my music differently from someone else's.
Absolutely. Now, in terms of your relationships at the time, because, you know, relationships, life experiences, they all affect our music. Were you married at the time back then?
Yes. Oh, I've been married for a long time.
Well, that's
it'll
congratulations.
Be 19 years in September.
Get out of here.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, man. Wow. I and my husband were married in 1993, and we were both involved, you know, with the Cooley's Hot Box project. You know, Russell Johnson, who's also my manager, and I had met through, you know, other friends that we've had that were attending the school that I was going to, State University of New York at Purchase. And, yes, we've been touring and doing this thing for a long, long, long time. But, no, I wasn't a mother then. So I had a lot of free time to figure things out, and I could stay up really late at night to work on something. But it's different now. I get tired by 9 o'clock in the evening, and I'm ready to go to bed. But if I have to force myself to stay up to finish something, you know, I'll do it. But, you know, I'm pretty tired. But it's the feed that I get from, you know, putting music out there and listening to music that really drives me to continue doing the work that I have been doing. And, of course, the supportive comments that I've been getting from people around the world. It definitely keeps me going.
Absolutely. Now, do you have any regrets with the choices that you've made over the years? And that's gonna, I'm going to piggyback that with another question, but let's start off with that. Do you have any regrets about the choices you've made musically, that is?
Any regrets? You know, I mean, there may be some. You know, but honestly, I think I'm going the pace that I'm going because it was meant to be, and I have to. I can't fight the pace that I'm going in. I mean, a lot of people have, you know, surpassed some of the things that I've done or gotten to that place a lot sooner than I had, because I had to really rough it for a while. But I think that I also had to mature mentally. You know, there are still some within me, and I'm sure this is with many artists of today, that there is some kind of, you know, confidence issues. You know, you want to make sure that you are doing the best to your capability and that you are not, you know, faking the funk when you're out there in front of the audience, because they can see through you. And so I take my time, you know, in producing when I produce in the studio. And, of course, when I'm on stage, I want to make sure that, you know, I'm the best I can possibly be, and that maybe something that I can get obsessed with, and it might slow me down. But that probably would be one of the things that I do regret, just, you know, being able to not progress as fast as I would like to. But at the same time, I think I had to be mature enough to take on the responsibilities that I'm taking on now that I wouldn't have had, you know, in the last 10 years.
Yeah, and it shapes who you are. And the question that I want to piggyback off of, because this is the important question to me, has it been difficult remaining true to yourself in the last 10 years, true to yourself of who you see yourself as being an artist as?
Wow, that's a good question. I do believe that I have stayed true to myself to the extent, you know, I'm an independent artist. You know, I have no one to answer to when it comes to image-wise and, you know, the kind of music that I want to put out. Thank goodness I'm in that position, and I've been protected. You know, I have great management behind me, George Littlejohn and Russell Johnson, who have protected me from a lot of the BS that's in the business that a lot of other people have to deal with, especially women. But I've definitely stayed true to myself. And I, you know, I honestly feel that if I tried to imitate someone else or another type of image or style of music, you know, it's not going to come off right. And I people will see through that and hear through that, and they won't receive you the way that they have been receiving me. It's true, you know, it's true that if you are staying within your lane and doing what you do best, your career can really extend for a long period of time. And I think that's what I've done to be here in this place where I am right now.
Absolutely, and you've done an incredible job. Your music is incredible.
Being
an independent artist, what is that life like? You know, you're obviously your wife, you're a mother. Folks out there would like to know, you know, what is a day consist of for an independent artist?
Oh my gosh. Well, I can only speak for myself, being that I have to incorporate my life as a mother, as a wife, and then of course the musician, the singer, the songwriter, the producer, the arranger. It's hectic. You know, I wake up early in the morning to get ready for my daughter to get ready to go to school. It's hard because some nights I'm up really late having to finish a project or a song, and I'll get maybe, you know, 2-3 hours of sleep max, and then I have to get up and start the day all over again. And sometimes I wake up with migraines because I can't sleep, you know, I can't have too little of sleep because, you know, that's detrimental to my health, I would say. But getting my daughter to school, making sure that her homework is done, feeding her breakfast, and getting her out the door. And then, of course, I'm trying to slip in a little bit of exercising time. You know, health is, you know, it's very important. But sometimes I can't, and I have to get right into the studio to start, you know, warming up the voice if I have to record some vocals, or, you know, just coming up with fresh ideas. But, you know, I'm spending about about 5 hours in the studio and thinking about what I'm going to be making for dinner, you know. I have to figure all of those things out. And, you know, my daughter comes home, I'm preparing dinner and helping her with her homework. And then, you know, if I have a little bit of time after she falls asleep, I'll go right back into the studio and work for a little bit longer. And then, you know, I call it quits when my body shuts down because it's not going to allow me to, you know, be creative. So I have to listen to that. But that's pretty much my day throughout the week. And, of course, you got to incorporate the shows that I have to prepare for. Those days are usually crazy because my whole family comes with me to shows. And so I'm not only getting myself ready, but I'm preparing my daughter to go with me and making sure that everything is straight so my husband doesn't have to worry while he's taking care of her and I'm preparing for a show. So it's a lot of things to, you know, put into play when it comes to, you know, an independent artist. Everything is done for yourself. If you've got the money to pay for someone to help you, to assist you, that's great. But I believe most of us are doing it for ourselves. And it's just the way that this business is. But, you know, you're in control of what's going on and around you, and that's a really good thing. There's no madness whatsoever.
Yeah, yeah. Does life for you sometimes feel very overwhelming?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, sometimes I feel, I don't know, sometimes I feel things are just so out of control, but it's probably a lot less than what I envision. I think maybe as an artist I can be overwhelmed with things, and I'm trying to think of too many things at once. And, you know, I'm still trying to find a place where I can be calm within whatever situation that I'm in. You know, I think it's because of the position that I'm in that I'm a producer as well as a singer and songwriter. You know, I have projects where I'm working with other singers and that, you know, they're waiting on me to finish the production or mixing a song. And then at the same time, I'm worrying about, you know, I have a solo project that, you know, that's going to be coming out that I have to, you know, cut some vocals for. And then, of course, you know, I'm a mother, so I have to take in all of these things and try to, you know, find a place where I can be calm in each situation and give the time that it needs for each thing that I need to pay attention to. And, you know, it's a juggling act. It really is. And, you know, I'm trying to be sane within all of it.
Yeah, it's a lot. And that's why I asked you that, because, you know, it definitely isn't easy being a woman, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so much, you know. You know, dads are one thing, but, you know, it seems like the burden, particularly with child rearing, is on the mother. You know, mothers just, you know, they got to be there, you know.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I mean, I give a lot of credit to my husband, who's been there for me from day one. You know, I remember, this is where I really earned his respect. I had to go to France for 2 weeks on a Nina Simone tribute. And when I came back, he said, "Man, I don't know how you do what you do." You know, the laundry. You know, I came back with, you know, the kitchen was kind of like in a mess. I don't want to say it was all a mess. Maybe it was, but I totally earned his respect. You know, knowing that he had to take care of the things that I usually take care of that he might have thought of, you know, in passing. Oh, you know, you could take care of that later on in the day, but no. Dishes pile up, laundry piles up, and, you know, getting your daughter ready for school and packing her snack for school and, you know, making sure her homework is done, you know, that takes a lot of energy. And then, of course, you have to have your business straight. You have to, you know, make your contacts and call folks and return emails. And, you know, I miss out every now and then. So when people, you know, are wondering that I don't get back to them right away, I'm busy. And, you know, it's definitely something that people have to consider when they're dealing with someone who has multiple things going on in their life. And that's a lot for indie artists. But, you know, we do keep it interesting, and we love what we do, and that's why we keep going.
Absolutely. Now, what do you do to cope? I mean, when you feel that coming on, that overwhelming sensation, that feeling when things are getting out of control, it's getting crazy, what do you do to cope? How do you bring yourself back to that center?
You're going
to
get me into trouble here. Because usually I'm taking it out on somebody. And
yeah, no, but that's normal.
Would be the one.
That's normal. And that's why I ask you that, you know. And I've seen some of the tracks that you have. And that's why I'm asking you those questions, because I can tell by the names of some of your tracks, you know.
Well, you know, I'm not perfect. I am not
that's
perfect.
Right.
When people
None
see me
are.
Smiling on stage, and, you know, I could be walking off stage and be in a really crappy mood. And I think that's probably because I'm a Libra, too, that has something to do with it. But, you know, my husband, I drive him crazy. I really do. And it's just, sometimes I'm very quiet. I don't talk. I can become very silent and just, you know, try to find a way to cool off and you know, reflect on whatever is going on, and so I can just come back into the situation with more calm spirit and, you know, where I can listen rather than, you know, trying to tone everybody out. But, of course, you know, I have to have that patience when I'm, you know, dealing with my daughter. She can come into the middle of everything, of madness, and I can't spaz out on her, you know, or that would not destroy her, but, you know, she would remember that for the rest of her life, and I don't want that. But
how old is your daughter now?
She's 8 years old now.
Wow.
Yes. And she's very aware and understanding of what mommy does and what daddy does. And, of course, she's very understanding of life and how things roll. She knows that, you know, her mom is in a business that it's not like a 9-to-5 like many of her friends. But she goes on the road with me. She really enjoys that and is very excited about, you know, touring, you know, especially abroad. And she's very smart. She's a brilliant little child. And I'm so happy to share this life with her because I think it's really interesting for her. And she has some bragging rights, you know, when she goes to school for sharing day or show and tell. But, no, this is something that, you know, we are all dealing with. You know, mommy sometimes can be a little crazy. And, you know, she knows when to just give me that space and time to deal with that. Sometimes. Other times,
yeah, no,
she's like,
it's
about me, and that, you know, I need this to be taken care of right now, Mom. So, but no, we work at it, and it's not a perfect situation, but we really do our best.
Yeah, and I know that you do. I'm going to have to get some tips from you, because my 16-year-old daughter is a Libra.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Very, very interesting personality. Love her to death. She's a, you know, talented like you are, you know, in the performing arts. I guess that kind of stuff
wonderful.
It runs in the DNA with the, I guess, the sun signs or whatever. But I'm going to have to get some tips from you so I can get a little insight.
Sure.
Some of her behaviors. Yep. Would you say that you very rarely cry sometimes, cry often, cry every day?
Oh, gosh. I've never really told anyone. You know what? I probably cry, gosh, you know, I would say, you know, at least once a week.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, if like I said, you know, sometimes I cry just to cool myself down, to release, you know, because I can't, well, I, you know, once I punched a wall, God forgive me that, you know, I had to speak up about this, but, you know, when anger hits and sometimes I get very emotional, you know, I made the mistake one time of punching the wall. I mean, it was something very dramatic, you know. I think I lost a song on my computer.
Oh, goodness.
And, yeah, that was probably the worst thing that had ever happened to me in my career. But, I was so deep into whatever I was feeling, the emotion, that I, you know, caused myself, you know, harm, and then I broke my hand. And, I really paid for that. I paid for it. And,
wow.
You know, I have to probably cry so that I can just release some of that tension that I'm feeling. But, you know, this is who I am. You know, I'm not going to shy away from it. You know, I want people to know that we do all go through these kind of issues. We all have tempers at times, and we all have great moments in life. But it's I'm very much human, and I make mistakes just like everybody else.
That's right. And we all go through that, but it's how we cope and deal with our anger and our feelings, and because we all have it. And anybody who says they don't have it, you know, they're not telling the truth. Now, how do you feel about men who cry? I mean, your honest feeling about that. Give us a little insight into what, because, you know, women say, oh, they like to hear, you know, see the men in their lives cry. But if a man cries, does that diminish how you look at a man, or how do you think women may look at men if they're crying? Like, let's say your husband cries once a week. How would you appreciate that, or would you look at that in a different way?
Well,
I mean,
first
be honest
of all,
about
I got to make sure that I'm not the one that's making them cry. But you know what? No, you're human. He's human. She's human. I mean, if we didn't cry, you know, where does the sensitivity come in? I mean, I'm not saying that they have to be bawling, but, you know, it's a release. It's just a sign that you have emotion, you know, and either they do it in private or they cry with someone, you know, it's very human. And I would not see a man, you know, I wouldn't think that he's diminishing in within his masculinity. It's silly for me to think that way. And, you know, there are some folks, you know, my father, you know what, I've probably only seen him cry once or twice in my entire life. I don't know why, but he was one that was very tough, you know, like his father, my grandfather, God bless his soul, but he was very tough on him. And my father was the second oldest of 15 children. So he didn't have much room to cry. I mean, you know, he had to help raise the rest of the kids and the family. So, you know, whatever he may have been, you know, holding within, I think that, you know, he just found a place for it, to deal with it. But, you know, I really do believe that it's okay for men to cry, you know, and it just shows them the emotional side of them. And, you know, it's okay. It really is okay.
Oh, that's good to hear. But, you know, you're an artist, so it's probably...
Right, you know, we have that sensitivity sign that, you know, we are more, you know, acceptable of these kind of things, and we would want to evoke that emotion from people. We expect that through our music.
Yeah. You wouldn't want people to be afraid. And speaking of being afraid, on your new album, you have a track called Don't Be Afraid. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about that, and then we'll play the track for everyone.
Yes, well, this song was actually off of the latest, or the last, I should say, Cooley's Hot Box album, Don't Be Afraid, Get On. And I had these wonderful, wonderful people out of Japan to mix the song. And the name of the band is Jabberloop. And I met them once, the last time I was in Japan, which was about 3 years ago, I think, at Blue Note. And yes, we weren't able to talk much because of the language barrier, especially on my part. I'm terrible at Japanese, but I heard their music before. We've done some work beforehand, you know, where I was singing over their music, and I thought that they would be a wonderful addition to my album. They had a great sensibility of music and instrumentation, as well as arrangement. But I was quite surprised at what they came back with my song. Honestly, I thought it was going to be, you know, another up-tempo type of track, like a house track or a danceable track. But no, they ripped it. I love this remix because they added live drums, bass, strings, keys, of course, and they really spent their time on the song. You know, folks are just going to have to hear it because I love it. I really love it to death.
And I love it too. Folks, Angela Johnson, Don't Be Afraid.
Oh, short of a love so pure and real. Don't let the past be so sad that your old wounds will never heal.
Johnson, a track called Don't Be Afraid. Incredible track. We're at the bottom of the hour. You're listening to Neil Blake Online. My wonderful guest today is the talented musician, songstress, Angela Johnson. Angela, what made you decide to put this new album together?
Wow. Well, since we were coming up on the 10th anniversary, I wanted to do something different, something that I haven't done before. You know, many remixes, you know, released remixes, or, you know, folks that have taken my songs and did edits as opposed to true remixes. We thought we would put, you know, an official remix album out and, you know, get some of the people that I've grown up listening to and that I have so much respect for in the, you know, the DJ world as well as the producer, remixers world. You know, wanted to get together with these folks in some way or capacity and get them to do something on my album. And, you know, a lot of folks have given me or sent me messages stating, you know, how certain songs have touched their lives. And, you know, some people have used some of the songs in their weddings, you know, it's how it may have changed or got them through, you know, a period in their lives. And, this is something that I wanted to say thank you to the fans with and to say how much I appreciate everything that they have said to me and have done for me when they come to my shows. They lift me up and they keep me going in this business. I wanted to, you know, breathe new life into my songs, and to also, you know, show that, you know, I do try to attempt making songs that can last forever. I want to make timeless music. That's the kind of music that I've grown up on. You know, that these songs, in whatever arrangement that's put up underneath these vocals or melodies, that they still stand strong in what they are. And maybe even strip the songs down. If you could just have piano and vocals with these songs, they're still just as strong as they were in the original mix. And that's what I wanted to do with these songs. I wanted the people to hear them in a different light.
Yeah. Now, how long did it take from conception to reality to get this album done?
Wow. I would say maybe a year and change. You know, the idea was floating out for a while, you know, floating around, that we wanted to do something that, you know, would celebrate the 10 years that I've been in the business, and we wanted to collect all these songs. So we took the time. We had three different lists between myself and my management of what songs we would use on this particular CD, and then we leveled it down to one, and then we started to seek out the type of producers that we wanted on each mix. And, I think, you know, with everybody's schedules, you know, we had to balance that out as well. And, you know, some folks may have taken less time than others, but it's quite all right because everybody did an exceptional job, I believe, you know, on these remixes, and they put their touch, which was exactly what I wanted them to do. I didn't want to influence them in any way. I wanted to see what they would do naturally to the songs.
Yeah, yeah. Now, 10 years later, as you come out with this new album, you've seen a lot in the music business. You've seen the music business change over the last decade. What do you specifically like and or dislike about how the industry has evolved over the last decade since you've been a solo artist?
Well, one thing hasn't changed that I'm a little disappointed that on commercial radio, you know, our particular artists, independent artists, soul artists, are not being heard as much as we would like for us to be heard. You know, it's still the same battle that we are constantly, you know, dealing with, and it's getting harder and harder every day after they are, you know, consolidating more and more radio stations. And, you know, it's going to be just one programmer for everything.
Sure.
That's what it's coming down to, you know, and they're knocking off, you know, radio stations, you know, 98.7 Kiss is gone, and, you know, it's just, it's difficult to watch all of that happen. But within the music business itself, you know, in the industry, you know, I really don't like to focus on the negative aspect of it because it can be very somber. It can be a lot of melancholy just thinking about and talking about it. But what I do like, you know, seeing, I like seeing some of the artists taking chances a little bit more than they had been before, and trying to find some kind of individuality. They're not, you know, totally successful in that because, you know, this is just me talking. This is my personal taste, you know, and how I see things. That many of these artists, you know, they either have the same look or the same sound. There's not much personality left in their music. I see them trying, but it's not far different from the next artist, which is unfortunate. But I do see, you know, some potential of some artists being able to step outside of what they normally do and take chances with, you know, other styles of music. You know, because what you hear on the rest of the CD, it might be cool. You know, we would think that it would be nice to be heard on radio. But, of course, radio is going to pick the commercial songs and the songs that they think could sell as singles. But if you hear the rest of the album, some of these folks are taking chances, and they like to do other things. And I just wish that we could hear more of these B-side songs that they have. So
yeah.
it's a mixture of feelings that I do have and what I see in this business.
Well, that's why you have the BlakeRadio.coms of the world.
That's right. There you go.
Because we play an eclectic mix of music from everybody. I mean, we love playing independent music. We've been playing your music for 10 years. And, you know, you mentioned that 98.7 KISS got closed down here in New York, so now you just have WBLS. But, you know, probably one of the reasons for that consolidation is because so many folks are listening to online radio stations now.
That's true. I mean, I'm including myself. Yeah. You know, I do that too. So, yeah, I mean, you know, there's been many arguments and discussions about that situation, you know, that many folks are, you know, they've tuned out, you know, commercial radio and are starting to listen to more music online, you know, such as, you know, your station, and there's numerous others that, you know, my music has been played on, and I am so thankful that I have that outlet for my music. And as well as, you know, I guess applications like, you know, Pandora and you know, other, you know, type of musical applications that you can get on your phone or on a computer, but it's just that way, and I think it's going to become the norm, just listening to internet radio. That's where you're going to hear music from around the world. That's where you're going to hear the B-sides, you know what I mean? That's what you're going to get what you're looking for. If you search long and hard enough, you'll find it. And we just have to get more people to do that, to find access to, you know, BlakeRadio.com and others, and find the music that they've been wanting for so long that's just been missing out. And, you know, still folks are still, you know, they're discovering this kind of music, and they're saying, wow, I didn't even know that this world existed. And I'm really surprised at that, but at the same time, I do understand, you know, folks who do not have access to the internet, they're still stuck within, you know, what's given to them on the radio, in commercial radio.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just not a large array of choices, you know, on
right.
commercial radio. It's just not, it's really not a snapshot of what's going on, because there are so many incredible independent artists such
yes.
as yourself that are putting out soulful music. A big part of your career is touring. Why don't you talk a little bit about the touring that you do around the world?
Yes, I've been touring, wow, since the early 2000s. Well, you know, sooner than that. I mean, but abroad, I've been touring, you know, for quite some time. And, you know, some of the most favorite places have been Japan as well as the UK. And I've toured a little bit in Europe. You know, I was in France for a while. I've toured Italy. And, you know, there's still yet so many places that I want to visit and to perform my music. And I've been asked, but, you know, it has to make sense, because either I have to bring my entire band, which can be costly, or, you know, I would have to use a pickup band within the country or the area that I'm going into. But I love it. I love it so much, and I feel that it has broadened my sense of, you know, what this world is and what music means to the entire world, as opposed to just, you know, what music means to the people here in the United States. It's such a large world, and many people have many different tastes, and I think that's why I've been doing so well internationally. People have been just so open to what I do. And that's what keeps me strong within this business.
Yeah, well, you have good music. I mean, there's a reason why folks are connecting to you. There is no language barrier when it comes to music.
That's right.
And about the vibe. What does it feel like when you're on stage and performing in front of an audience? You know, when you see folks vibing to your music and enjoying your music, what, you know, share with us how that feels. What kind of feeling do you get when you're on stage like that?
Wow, I definitely become a different person, especially when I'm in my zone, and, you know, and of course it has to be right. I mean, the sound, the balance of the music on and the sound on stage, but then to see that instant getting that instant gratification from seeing somebody nodding their heads and really getting into the music and, you know, having all eyes on me and the band, you know, that's just a feeling that I, you know, it's hard to put it into words. I mean, it feeds me. It really does. It's the energy that I really do receive from the folks and that I work off of when I'm on stage, especially when I'm doing up-tempo music. And it's just so gratifying to see folks, you know, enjoying something that you've saw or you've created from the very beginning stages to what it had become, and, you know, that you're exposing yourself in a way where, you know, you're expressing your feelings through your lyrics, and you know, you're not recording. You're on stage, and whatever mistakes that you make on stage, you know, that's it. But it's just the package, the excitement, and gosh, I don't know. I don't know how to put it into words, but what I can say,
you're doing a good job.
What I can say is that it's just amazing, and you know, I get different vibes from, you know, different places that I go. Like in Japan, they're very conservative, but at the end of the show, holy cow, they are on their feet, dancing with you, clapping their hands, singing with you, and you know, when you're walking off the stage, everybody wants to slap your hand, you know, and give you a pound, and it's just crazy. It's crazy, and it's just a wonderful feeling that you are appreciated for what you do. And then in the UK, you know, very, very much the same in the way that people, you know, show their, you know, their response towards you, you know, showing appreciation for your music. And what I do get from the UK is that they know their history of soul music, and it's crazy to me because I get more of a history lesson there than I do here in the States. It's kind of backwards. But they really do know, you know, their soul music, and they cultivate it, which unfortunately we don't do so much here in the States. And that's just something that I've been observing. But I do appreciate, you know, being treated, you know, as I believe many of us artists should be treated, and that's with respect for what we do and what we're sharing with them. And that's a beautiful thing.
You've been called, I've seen articles written about you, you've been called a child prodigy. What does it feel like to have been given the gift of being a talented musician? I mean, because I know you're a spiritual person, I've known you over the years. What does it feel like? What kind of blessing do you feel you receive being able to express yourself in a musical way? Because there's so many of us who would love to be able to do that. So I know you have been given a special gift.
I mean, I blush every time when people mention child prodigy because I still don't even know what to do with it. I mean, yes, I started playing the piano by ear at the age of 4, and then I picked up the violin when I was 9, and I had a very keen sense of how music should be composed. I was trying to compose music at the age of 4. I had a little sample of it on my very first solo project, They Don't Know, where my mother actually sat the tape recorder right in front of me at the piano, and she just pressed record and play and just let me go. She just let me play for hours and come up with songs, you know, say words that I don't even know the meanings to. I mean, it was just hilarious listening to it. But you know, I have been blessed, you know, not just because my parents have told me, and my grandparents and my, you know, all of the elders at the church at the time that I was attending church. I just, you know, I knew I had something special that I wanted to share with the rest of the world. You know, I had perfect pitch, but I didn't realize what it was until I was in high school. I didn't understand what it was to have perfect pitch and to be able to call out notes if somebody just played it on the piano or on another instrument. But, you know, it took a long time for me to really accept that I had this gift, that I, you know, I should just own it. I was always shy of that. I knew that, you know, I loved what I'm doing. I love creating songs. I love to sing and play piano. I love making music. But to call it a gift, you know, I just thank God that I am able to make music and make a living off of doing what I do, and that I have the capability of creating a whole production. You know, I'm very thankful for it. I'm very blessed to have these kind of talents that I can apply to what I do every day and to share with everyone else.
Yeah, and you make good music. Do you think that the fact that the Creator has given you this gift, that you have an obligation to the universe in any way? To put out good music or to communicate certain thoughts and ideas?
Absolutely, absolutely. And for a time, I was kind of fighting against it because, I believe, gosh, I've never told anyone this, but, you know, when I was in high school, you know, I used to be envious of, you know, a lot of my book smart friends, you know. I mean, not saying that I was a dummy in school, but my focus was more on music as opposed to, you know, getting aces on all of my tests. But I thought maybe, wow, why couldn't I have been a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, you know, where I can really make, you know, make other people's lives better. I didn't understand that music could do the same thing. It could be very therapeutic for many people. But back at the time, you know, I was growing up, you know, I just felt like I should be doing something more, constructive and, you know, and I just wanted to be something else other than just a musician. I didn't want to be the stereotype that I thought I was being, you know, where, you know, we black people, we can dance and sing and play sports. You know, I was fighting against that for a while. But then I came to terms with, you know, this was inevitable. I've been talking about this since I was four, that I wanted to be, I would say, a star. I wanted to be someone who makes records and goes on tours. And I wanted to live that life ever since I was that young. And so it was inevitable that I was going to become this. My parents supported me from day one. They did whatever they could. They made sure that I had my education. They made sure that I did go to college. But I had something to fall back on. That's what they wanted to be sure of. So that when I pursue this career, it's a tough business, and there's a lot of people that want the same thing that you do, that they wanted to make sure that I had some kind of foundation. But I'm probably going off on a tangent talking about
this. No, it's beautiful. Keep it going. that's what I want to hear. Keep going.
But I just wanted to say that I do feel that, you know, God has put me on this earth to make music. Honestly, I don't feel like I can do anything else and do it to its full potential. This is what I know. This is what I eat, sleep, breathe. I've been doing it for so long that I really don't think I shouldn't be doing anything else. So that's why, you know, I'm putting all of my all into this, and I hope that people can hear that through my music.
Yeah, and we do. We're all a work in progress. Are you comfortable in your own skin 10 years later?
I think I am. You know, I still have some insecurities, of course. I think women just do that just because it's our nature. But then again, you know, I know a lot of very confident women, and I feed off of that too. So when I see, you know, my sister feeling really confident, I take a piece of that with me, and then I feel somewhat confident within myself. You know, as a musician, as an artist, you know, I definitely feel like I'm still learning, you know, I'm learning. I'm constantly taking in life notes and trying to better myself. You know, I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better mother. I want to be a better musician. I want to love myself more. I want to just be what God has put me on this earth to be. That's truly important to me, and I think that's integral for me to be completely happy.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's not easy. It's, as I said, it's a work in progress. It's
definitely. Yes,
do you
absolutely.
Feel free? Do you feel free at this point in your life?
Free in what sense?
Spiritually. With the ability to love and be loved, do you feel free?
I think I'm still a work in progress. I mean, I have to be honest and say that, you know, there are times where I'm really fighting against, you know, how I should be loved or how I should love someone. You know, I definitely give my husband a very hard time at times. I'm not a difficult person, but, you know, I can get so wrapped up into something in my head. You know, I have a lot of things that I need to deplete out of my system as far as some of the things I've learned in my upbringing, you know, and I think everybody has this issue still that, you know, I fought against a lot of me being hard on myself. I was somewhat of a perfectionist. I may still be at times, but I was very hard on myself, and I didn't allow myself to be happy at some points. And, you know, I would fight off, you know, some depression. But just like I said, when I was mentioning that, you know, I wanted to be that doctor, I wanted to be a lawyer, you know, I was fighting against what I was put on this earth to be. I wasn't accepting that. So parts of me, you know, it may surface up every now and then, and, you know, you reflect on those things and you say, look, this is what God has prepared for you, and you have to be ready to receive it. You're holding back everything if you're not allowing it to happen. So allowance is very big. It's so important that you are ready to receive the blessings that God has for you. It's waiting right in front of you. It's just that you have to be open enough to take it in. And that's what I'm really trying to be.
Yeah, that's beautiful and so honest. We have about 5 minutes left. I want you to get in all of your contact information so the audience can hear, you know, how they can reach you and find your music.
Yes, well, you can definitely find my music, my new CD, Revised, Edited, and Flipped, on iTunes as well as Amazon. You can also go to my website at angelajohnson.com. And, of course, you can visit Music Group or PurposeMusicGroup.com. I have so many places where you can find me. You can even do a search, Angela Johnson, but I'm not the comedian or the model, but Angela Johnson, the musician. But folks can also find me on Twitter at Angela Johnson underscore the number one. And I would love to hear from folks. I'm always looking at tweets and you know, checking on what's going on, you know, around me. I'm not so self-absorbed that I am only focusing on myself. But, you know, I don't want to say worldly, but I just wanted to know what's going on. And I write about those things. Those are the things that, you know, stories need to be told. And if I have some kind of platform that I can speak from, you know, I'm going to take that chance to do it. And I'm going to show you my perspective of it.
Yeah. When you talk about writing music, what's going through your head when you're creating music? What causes you to want to say, hey, I got to write a track to this, or I got to write a lyric to that? What's going on in your head to push you to make you want to do that?
Wow. Well, I think it's just innate in me that I'm going to do it, because it's just a feeling that I have to fulfill. I go through emotions, you know. It's I'm feeling whatever way that I'm feeling at that moment or that time. I'm going to write about it, or at least attempt to. It might be a day where I'm just, you know, feeling like making music, right? So I would write a track. But when it comes to lyrics, I definitely like to have the track first and let the track speak to me or sing to me, and then those lyrics are just popping up in my head, and the melody will come into my head. And that's normally how I work. But there are times where I'd like to just sit at the keyboards and just come up with the melody, and then the lyrics will come a little bit later. But it really depends on the situation, the day, the time, you know, what has affected me, what I saw on TV. It really does depend on the situation.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else you want to tell the audience before we get ready to cut out of here?
Yes, well, you know, if there are some people in New Jersey, or anybody can come down to Newark, New Jersey, I'm going to be performing at this place called the Coffee Cave in downtown Newark this Saturday. And I'm going to be performing a couple of tunes. One will be, you know, a Cooley's Hotbox tune called What a Surprise. And I'm going to revisit one song that I did with Real People out of the UK. And I'm hopefully, you know, going to fit in one song off of the current album, Revised, Edited, and Flipped. But I'm looking forward to, you know, some more performances. I'm going to have something coming up in Roselle, New Jersey, as well as Japan. I'm going to Japan in the early part of July, so I'm looking forward to that as well. But I do hope to really, you know, tour this project and maybe perform some of the live remixes and just have fun with it until the next project, which I'm already starting to get into. I look forward to another project later on this year.
Wow, wow. Angela Johnson, it's been a pleasure as always. Folks, you got to get out, get her album, get it off of iTunes, wherever you purchase it. It's called Revised, Edited, and Flipped. It comes out tomorrow. You heard a track here first on BlakeRadio.com here on Rainbow. So we're going to end the show with All in Me. Tell the audience a little bit about that.
Yes, All in Me. Well, let me tell you, folks, I have this wonderful, wonderful person in my life, thank goodness, that we have connected on this song, and I featured Darian Dean out of Mount Vernon, New York, actually. I don't know if you ever heard of SoulTracks.com, but we won Song of the Year back in 2010, and we had a lot of fun touring with this record, my record, It's Personal, as well as performing this song. But we, you know, it was a down-tempo ballad, but we had it flipped into a reggae mix, And I connected, when I was in France, I connected with a Frenchman by the name of Yannis. And we thought that this would be a great song to work with and to give it an island flavor. And, you know, I'm a huge, huge fan of reggae music, but I thought that he would do a wonderful mix, and he gave it kind of a roots flavor on this reggae mix. So I'm really excited about this, and I can't wait for everybody to hear it.
Angela Johnson, it's been a pleasure. We wish you all the best success with your new album. And,
thank
of course, you know you always have a place here at BlakeRadio.com.
I appreciate you, Neil, and everybody who's listening. Thank you so much.
Angela Johnson, folks, go out and get her album tomorrow, revised, edited, and flipped. This is Neil Blake Online. You've been listening to a wonderful program with Angela Johnson. As always, we want to encourage you to download the Rainbow Soul app, and that way you'll be able to access all the programs here. You can also download the app for our sister channel, Music Massage, where we play a lot of Angela Johnson's music. Until next time, folks, take care now.
My love, I think about it more than I show you how much I appreciate you. But starting tonight,
never stop. out Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com. Talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.
Broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.